This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On today's show, Lisa Ostrander interviews a jazz funk band originating in Winona, Minnesota. Hear how the band deals with challenges and opportunities that come along with improvisational jazz. Stick around, and after the interview, we'll share with you part of their 2011 Midwest Music Fest performance.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Live Feed, and we are here with the Sugarloaf Gang. If you guys just kind of want to go down the line and just give your name and where you're from and the instruments you play.
Well, my name's Alan Rewitzer. I play trumpet, and I'm originally from Coon Rapids, Minnesota.
My name is Carl Brueggemann. I play the drums, and I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota.
My name is Marty Brueggemann. I'm also from St. Paul, and I play the keyboard.
My name is Justin Smith, originally also from Coon Rapids, Minnesota, and I play the bass.
So how long has the band been together, and how did you guys meet? I know that three of you were Winona State University students, and you guys met in the music department, I would
right.
assume.
A couple of years ago, we actually had an offer on the table. Basically just wanted to play a jazz gig somewhere, I think probably at Ed's. And so I just asked the best jazz musicians I knew, which included Alan, Carl. We had a great high school student named Frank who played keyboards with us for that show.
And we were all in the WSU Jazz Ensemble right. for a few years together.
Yeah.
That's where we met.
So you guys kind of already knew your own styles. And
right.
And
yeah, we had played together for a while.
Able to mesh well.
Definitely.
Frank is now out of town, but luckily Marty is a great keyboard player as well. And Carl, of course, knows him pretty well.
We go way back.
We've met a few times.
Are you just filling in this weekend then? Or?
Well, this is the first show that I've played with these guys. They've graciously allowed me into the group. But yeah, I don't think it'll be the last. It sounds like there are some ideas brewing.
It's nice now that I'm... You know, Alan, Carl, Marty, myself, and Chris Peters plays guitar with us as well. And we're all in the Twin Cities now, so we're hoping to continue with this kind of five-piece lineup for some shows up there.
Where are you guys planning on trying to get shows?
Chris has a few connections. I think Whiskey Junction, maybe the Caboose, places like that. Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Connections.
Right. Club venues.
So I guess we'll see. But we've never played outside of Winona, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Right on.
We recently recorded at the Hideaway Studios in Minneapolis, where Atmosphere, a lot of the Rhymesayers artists record.
High respects.
So we recorded an album there, just kind of gave it away for free online. So I'm sure if you Google Sugarloaf Gang, you'll find that.
When exactly did you guys start playing gigs?
Couple years ago, right, Justin?
Yeah, a couple years ago. I mean,
at Ed's.
Yeah, I mean, over the last couple years, while we were all still in town, I mean, we obviously know a lot of musicians amongst ourselves. So if we had a gig that came up and say, "Oh, unfortunately, Carl couldn't make it tonight. We have another drummer we could bring in," or you know, "We couldn't get a guitar, but we still have a keyboard, so it'll work." As long as we had, you know, basically three or four people who could make the show, we would do it. We played even with larger bands, six or seven piece bands with, you know, we had a violin player or other horn players. We had a spoken word poet appear with us once.
We definitely had a classic lineup that I think
right.
all of us really thought Sugarloaf Gang was really all about, you know.
And just sometimes, unfortunately, it didn't work out to have
right.
everyone there, but
busy schedules
right.
and things like that. But it's nice to have a community like Winona where there are so many musicians
definitely.
Available.
Right.
And people that love to play gigs. You're definitely not the only shapeshift band that kind of pulls
for sure
from everywhere.
Kind of what I think of like the key shows that we played, which we've done a couple on New Year's Eve sets. We were, I guess, the headlining band for the 80 Relief Bob Marley birthday show. Those ones we always try to have our kind of a core lineup, the bigger ones.
Right, the bigger ones, the ones that will get you a little more publicity.
I'm pretty sure we played I Shot the Sheriff at every single show we've ever done at Ed's.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's sometimes a couple times in one show.
that's true.
So what would you guys describe your sound or style like then? Obviously, with such a variety of interests in terms of genres, you guys must...
We cover a lot of ground, mostly like jazz, funk, I guess, is what we'd like to classify ourselves, if anything. But
yeah, we play a couple real book tunes, some standards, but we definitely funk them up quite a bit.
So when you guys say real book songs, what does that mean?
Basically, the real book is just a book of jazz standards, you know.
It started as an under-the-table kind of collection. Somebody, a college student somewhere, had compiled it decades ago of the top jazz standards. But now, Hal Leonard does sell it.
Oh, yeah.
Licensed
Hal Leonard loves to grab everything they
The nice thing is, technically, the old one, you know, the classic real book would have been unlicensed songs, so the songwriters weren't receiving any royalties from the sale of their actual compositions. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, it was rare, but you could potentially run the risk of issues performing from
that. Right, copyright infringement.
Now that it's a licensed material, you know,
they're getting paid too,
which is nice. I mean, I'm all about supporting all musicians.
Yeah. Yes, all musicians appreciate that for sure.
Yeah, and the title is sort of a play on words because it's a fake book, and that's type of sheet music that even sheet music is too strong of a term. Jazz musicians read off of it. Basically, has a melody line written out and then the chords.
Okay, so it gives you the chords, and then you can just improvise from that. And
from that, you create your arrangements.
Yeah, so even the real book tunes we're doing are essentially mostly improvised when we perform them live, as far as what we do with solos and form and style.
Even and a good example, we play "Well You Needn't," which is a Thelonious Monk swing tune, and he played it solo piano or with a band.
But we play it dirty funk.
Yeah, play it funk. So, which have the luxury, if we know the melody and the chords going on, we could play it pretty much any style, in theory, at least.
We've played "Yesterday" by Paul McCartney. We played that up-tempo disco funk.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys should make a disco funk version of Blackbird.
Actually, disco funk might be in the works for us.
Yeah, we're highly considering.
Right,
including the polyester suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think of it as kind of throwing together, obviously each of us have our own backgrounds, and throwing together those unique influences, and luckily something pretty good comes out of it.
Absolutely.
Usually gets pretty high energy. Usually starts off pretty laid back, and then usually goes to a double time feel. When we jam, we come up with songs, we just kind of, I don't know, I usually take the reins as a drummer, so everyone just has to follow me, whatever crazy ideas I come up with, but it's usually a good time, and it's just fun to play with everyone who's a really good improviser and knows when to take center stage and then, you know, step back a little bit. Everyone has their time to shine, and we have a few original pieces that we play that I think are a lot of fun.
So do you guys improvise pretty much every show?
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, even when we play real book tunes, we're never playing them the same way twice, or at the very least, you know, always have room for some improvised solos in a tune. And we have a mix, like Carl said, we have a couple original pieces that we, you know, try to play each time, but those can come out differently depending on how we're feeling or the gig doing. And also, each show we tend to have at least one or two, if not more, where it's just completely improvised on the spot.
And that's something we're all comfortable with, so it's not like any of us are, oh no, what's going on? I think we all kind of know what to expect from a Sugar Loaf show. It's just laid back, just jam with good musicians. People seem to enjoy it.
How often do you guys have shows?
Very rarely.
When we were all together in Winona, I mean, we ended up playing at least once every 2 or 3 months, it seemed, for a while. But now that we're up in the Twin Cities, you know, all getting adjusted to be up there, so we haven't had any shows booked. But we had this festival gig lined up, so.
But we plan in the future to start playing the Twin Cities and hopefully maybe make a name for ourselves there. So we're excited to see what we're going to do with this group.
When you guys aren't playing shows, how often do you get together and jam out? Or I know that a lot of you are in other bands too, so maybe that kind of gives you the practice that you need. Or
I've been playing with my brother Marty ever since I was 9 years old and I got my first drum set. So, I mean, we're all constantly playing together. We're in a band called Underdub. I've played with Justin in a band called Apartment 4. When two of our other members finally moved to the Twin Cities, we might continue
we're
that project.
Hiatus right now.
So I've been playing with Justin with a bunch of different groups, played with Alan in the jazz band.
I mean, I went to high school with that, or middle school, so I played with Alan in high school, and then
We've been playing together
on campus. So.
Been playing together an unusually long time for how young we are. So,
in high school, you guys did a lot of traveling.
And we did, and our high school bands ended up playing at some interesting things. I mean, we did some kind of commercial, and I played for a grocery store.
Did you get paid?
Target. Oh, the band program got paid.
Oh, right, of course. The school uses you guys to get money for the music program, right? So tell me about your experiences as music majors. What has that been like, and where have you gone from there in terms of the professional realm?
I was a music business major. I actually never switched my major. So that was interesting. Definitely the most I got out of Winona State was probably from Rich McDonald. He's just awesome. He was a jazz director. He directed the percussion ensemble, which I was in, and he was also my studio teacher. So I took lessons from him for years, and I just made so much of an improvement as a drummer and as a musician studying with him. He was a big deal for me.
Yeah, I mean, even for me as a trumpet player, I mean, I took a lot of classes with Rich, and he's definitely a big influence on how I think about music just in general, how I approach it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree as well. Don't have enough good things to say about Rich McDonald. Honestly, kind of the shining light of the music department there.
He's the man, for sure.
He's definitely really involved with the jazz scene, too. He's basically
He is the jazz scene, yeah.
So tell me about the songs from the Hideaway album. What was that experience like?
It was a lot of fun. We booked the studio through Nick Month, who...
another Winona State alumni. Yeah.
He has interned there a couple times. He works at a few studios. But anyway, we booked the studio and just kind of had a few ideas of what songs we were going to do, some real book tunes that we usually play live, a few of our originals. We just wanted to make some improvised jams in the studio, so we did that as well.
A couple were nice, like... Chris Peters, unfortunately not here today, but some of the tunes we ended up recording were an idea that he kind of had in the back of his mind, like, oh, this would be a good idea for a song, and then finally getting it out there with the full band, being able to, obviously comfortable enough to create our parts for his idea as well.
So that was a cool experience to improvise in the studio, because I've never done that before.
Yeah. So you guys played songs that you've never played before.
Correct.
Yeah, we came up with it on the spot.
Right on. Sometimes that's the fresh, exciting part of music, though, is when you play it for the first time and you record it and it turns out perfectly.
It was exciting. I mean, this kind of music, it lends itself because since it's just jazzy and improvised, no one could probably tell that it was a completely improvised song.
With studio recordings, you can get some albums where it's basically each individual musician records their parts and basically on top of the other tracks.
Layer them together.
But we recorded everything live, all together in the same room.
That's how you really get the connectivity of it all.
Being able to see each other, see what we're doing, hear each other obviously really well.
And this was a really good educational experience for me because Nick gave me all the tracks and I mixed the album myself just at home on my laptop. So that was just a lot of fun to just listen to these guys for a couple months, just soloing their solos. And that was a blast to do that.
What was one of the most embarrassing moments for you guys on stage, either individually or...
Was there supposed to have been one?
Oh, there always is.
No, I play trumpet. That's half of my life.
Yeah, I would say most of mine are just Alan's performances. Just being on the same stage with him. And, I don't know.
Oh, man.
And the nice thing about music... Even if you have... Like, for some people, you'd feel embarrassed if you had a show without a ton of people there. But, I mean, the great thing about music and playing with people you're comfortable with is even if... there's, you know, very few other people in the room, you're still having a great time playing.
Yeah, you're
together.
Still jamming out, still getting the vibes going.
Yeah, so we're always enjoying it, even if no one else does, but hopefully other people enjoy it too.
Well, I mean, the thing with this kind of music, the improvisational music, I mean, there's going to be a lot of what you could call mistakes, but...
little slips.
A whole part of the art form is, I call it like stumbling gracefully, almost. If you make an error, you stumble, you land back on your feet.
Turn into something good, yeah.
And hey, if it's improvisational, you know, people often don't know
that
you made a mistake.
Excellent word of advice from Dr. Rich McDonald, you know, there's no wrong notes, just wrong people.
There we go.
And a lot of times it's what you would maybe traditionally look at as a mistake. As cliche as it sounds, you look at it as kind of an opportunity. So a lot of times when those mistakes come up, it's like, okay, this happened now.
Let's run with it.
Where are we going to go with it now?
I think,
and that really informs sometimes even what the whole band will end up doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much interplay this band has when what I like to do as a drummer is I'm listening to the soloist. Well, let's say it's Marty. There was a point last night when he did this little rhythmic motif and I just went along with him and we just kind of took this little ride for a little while. And that's the fun thing about playing with these guys, is just interacting with each other and just being on the same wavelength. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. It's rare, too, I think.
Yeah. Have you guys ever made a mistake and it ended up being...
No, never. Next question.
Right. Have you ever made a mistake and it ended up sounding better than maybe it would have before?
All the time, yes. I think.
I think a great example of that is at the Hideaway recordings. We're playing Red Clay. The ending is just supposed to end, da-da-da-da-da-da. And Frank just wasn't paying attention. He played another chord.
Held out a keyboard note, but it worked.
It was a very interesting chord, and... it created a very nice kind of spacey end to the song, so we just left it on there.
I feel like even the legacy of a lot of jazz, when you look at some of the chords, if you were to analyze them classically, it doesn't kind of make sense what's going on. And who knows if they even arose out of mistakes. Yep. You know, we keep playing those mistakes, and that's part of the tradition now.
I think it was Miles Davis, maybe one of the great jazz players, had said, you know, basically, if you end up, you're playing a solo and you play a note that doesn't fit into the key, you make it so no one can tell, you know, you intended that note, even if you didn't, you know, you're just playing an interesting note.
What was one of the most gratifying or rewarding moments for you guys on stage? Maybe a show that just stands out?
For me, it was the Bob Marley show, because that whole show, Ed called me that morning. He was like, I think the show isn't going to happen. I think I'm going to have to pull the plug. All these bands were dropping out, and we pretty much, I don't know.
You guys stepped up?
We stepped up.
We learned a lot of extra tunes the day of, just so we...
just so it happened?
So it could go on, I mean.
So that, nice. That just felt really gratifying to see people enjoy, and like, you know, this show was about to not happen, and we pretty much, you know, made sure that it was a success. We played a lot of the hits that people wanted to hear.
On top of those, for a good cause, and raising money for definitely a worthy relief effort. I was troubled to hear it might not happen, but luckily, we were able to make it go through.
So what do you guys plan for the near future then?
Hopefully just play together with each other. Jam, maybe get shows. Definitely we're all in the same cities, so yeah. I think it makes sense to just keep on playing. So that's hopefully what we'll do.
Any jazz joints up in the cities that you guys are looking into?
I mean, obviously, Aspire, the two big ones would be the Artist Quarter in St. Paul or the Dakota in Minneapolis.
Yep, I've heard a lot of things. So those are the Dakota.
Those are the kind of the
pinnacle. Just a matter of time.
The pinnacle of it,
Otherwise, there's the Clown Lounge underneath the Turf Club, which is a really cool place.
And they have regular jazz there, too, as well.
It's a pretty healthy jazz scene in the Twin Cities, I would
say. Yeah, it really is.
We need more, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we need some more jazz spots. You know, it's no LA yet.
That's what's nice about, we just played last night at Midwest Music Fest 2011. What was nice is I'm pretty sure we're the only jazz act in the whole festival.
Winona State is having some jazz.
Okay.
But
That's what's so great about this festival is that they can bring so many genres together, and it's nice that they set up each venue kind of sticking with the same type of theme, I guess, or
I mean, interesting. I looked at the list for our venue, and I
kind of random.
Yeah, it was actually there were some rock bands, like psychedelic band. You know,
I mean, we rock out, but yeah.
So ultimately,
you know, funk and psychedelic rock,
right? Yeah. Exactly,
kind of fits together. One way or another.
It's all the same.
The improvisation is there in both of them.
Definitely.
The backbeat.
So is there anything else you guys would like to add? Maybe a website that people can find you on, or a Facebook?
I mean, if you want to check out our recording, it's called Songs from the Hideaway. I would just Google Sugarloaf Gang Hideaway, and a Bandcamp page will come up, and you can download the entire album for free.
We do have a MySpace page with some of the tracks streaming from there as well. I believe it's myspace.com/thesugarloafgang.
And we don't have a Facebook page yet, but we should probably do that soon.
Yeah.
Probably.
Get with the times.
Probably.
By the time you hear this, we'll have a Facebook page.
There we go. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Our pleasure.
Thanks for the interview.
months ago.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sugarloaf Gang. Thanks again, guys, for interviewing with us.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.